Jim Packard sitting in for Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Glad to have you along with us today as we talk about promoting our Wisconsin renewable energy resources. And we have with us here in the studio Dave Jenkins, who is Director of Commercialization and Market Development in Wisconsin's Office of Energy Independence. The office was created a year ago by executive order to advance Governor Doyle's vision for energy independence. And thank you so much, Dave, for stopping by today.
Thank you, Jim.
I know we were expecting Judy Ziwak, but she has some family medical issues, and so we're happy that you were able to come in on short notice and talk about the Governor's Office of Energy Independence.
Sure, happy to do it. Thanks for the opportunity.
I know that the Governor and the state is launching a $150 million 10-year grant and loan program to make Wisconsin a leader in renewable energy. That program will support cutting-edge research and development, the manufacture and production of new clean energy products, and ways to make clean energy use widespread and cost-effective. And you're involved in the grant process for this new fund, the Wisconsin Energy Independence Fund. How does it work?
This is an exciting program, and just a little background on the origin of this. Last year, the Governor Doyle presented to the legislature a package of $30 million in new state spending. We considered an investment in renewable energy resources. The $150 million 10-year program, the first installment on that is the $15 million Wisconsin Energy Independence Fund that our office and the Department of Commerce will administer. It's actually a Department of Commerce program. They have been working very hard at Commerce to put this together. Normally it takes 6 to 8 months to create a new program of this magnitude. They've done it in about three, and they've worked very hard in getting this ready to go. Applications for the program are being accepted now online at the Department of Commerce's website, and the cutoff date for the application is June 2nd.
What kinds of projects are people applying to be able to do or hope to do?
There are three buckets or three sectors of projects that if you go to Commerce's website and look under renewable energy, the Wisconsin Energy Independence Fund, you'll see research and development projects. Those are projects that will bring develop new promising technologies and bring those into the marketplace. The second are commercialization project, and these can be for all of these types of projects that can be any kind of renewable energy, wind, solar, biomass, geothermal, any kind of renewable energy project out there. Commercialization projects will be eligible for 4% loans, and infrastructure or supply chain development projects, those kinds of projects that enable Wisconsin businesses and consumers to produce and consume more renewable energy, will also be 4% loans. The research and development programs will be grants.
All right. So those are the three sectors that we will be dealing with. And the grant process started first of this month, and requests have to be in for this first round by the 2nd of June?
That's correct.
And then how long is that take then for them to find out whether or not they're approved, or when do you hope to start administering funds back out?
The Department of Commerce staff will examine these requests and these proposals. It'll take about a month to 5 weeks. We're hoping that sometime during the first week of August, these funds can be dispersed out to the businesses and applicants that are selected for awards. The Secretary of Commerce of Wisconsin will be the ultimate decision maker on these awards.
We're talking with Dave Jenkins, who is the Director of Commercialization and Market Development, Wisconsin's Office of Energy Independence. And if you'd like to join the conversation, if you have questions about proposals you'd like to try, or about promoting Wisconsin's renewable energy resources, then give us a call in Madison at 263-1890 or toll-free at 800-642-1234, and our email address is talk@wpr.org. We do have lines open if you have your call that you'd like to make, but let's start with Mark in Janesville. Hello, Mark. What's on your mind today?
Good afternoon. I was wondering who might be able to tell me if honey, rather than sugar, being used in ethanol, or whether it could be used in ethanol, because the wax and the honey from various beehives could be a very low-energy input way to get something that can be turned into biodiesel or biogas. And I can't find anything on the web about it or anything else, so I thought I'd call you.
Not sure I have the answer for you, Mark, but let me suggest this. You know, there are other countries that Brazil is an example of a country that uses sugar from sugarcane to produce ethanol. In Wisconsin, there's some very exciting research and development going on in Viren Energy, for example, a company in Madison that is using sugar water to make gasoline and other hydrocarbons. I spent 10 years in the petroleum business, and I didn't believe it when I first heard about it. I went out there, and we looked at it, and they're actually doing that. And they have partners such as Shell and Honda and the Navy assisting them in this effort. So there's an example of a Wisconsin company that's actually using sugar to make renewable energy. I haven't heard of honey, but I think if you talk to the folks at Virent and ask them if that could be used as a feedstock, I'm sure they could answer that question for you.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. We had Eric Affelbach, the CEO of Virent, on Larry's show to talk about the process that they're working on and the future for alternative energy sources. If you'd like to join the conversation, we have lines open for you in Madison at 263-1890 or toll-free at 800-642-1234. The governor, of course, repeated his call for the state to generate 25% of its electricity and motor fuels from renewable sources by the year 2025. It's time to get on with it then, isn't it?
It is time to get on with it, and the governor's absolutely right. Just a little background about Wisconsin's energy situation. We consume slightly less than 2% of all the energy in the United States. The United States consumes about 25% of the energy in the world. We also produce about just shy of 25% of all the goods and services in the world. But Wisconsin has no coal, no oil, no gas, no uranium. So all the major primary energy sources that are used in the United States to produce energy, Wisconsin doesn't have. We do have, though, brain power. We have hard-working people that are innovative and finding solutions. Week by week, Wisconsin people are finding solutions to this energy problem. And our resources are not fossil fuels. They're renewable energy. 60% of the renewable energy that we have in Wisconsin is produced from wood. That would surprise some people, but we're seeing a growing use of wood, for example, in schools. And there are schools today, particularly in northwestern Wisconsin, who are saving between $50,000 and $100,000 a year by heating their schools with wood. So it's a renewable resource that's in the process of being rediscovered.
I got a notice from USDA, or the United States Department of Energy's Office of Public Affairs, about they're selecting four small-scale biorefinery projects in a round of federal funding, which includes a location at Wisconsin Rapids, and that's the Stora Enso North America plant at Wisconsin Rapids, where DOE is going to provide up to $30 million. And this proposed plant will take wood waste and convert it to diesel fuel. New Page Corporation of Miamisburg, Ohio, recently acquired Stora Enso North America, the original applicant. But that's interesting because that's, again, a Wisconsin project that has a great promise for converting timber to ethanol or to some other form of energy.
That is a promising technology, and there are many, many people working in the country on that. I think Wisconsin should be very proud to have landed that project for Wisconsin Rapids and the New Page company. Another major development in this area of renewable energy for our state and for our nation is the fact that last year Wisconsin, the University of Wisconsin, was selected as one of only three bioenergy centers in the United States. The new bioenergy center was a $125 million grant, and the other two institutions in the United States that received that were Lawrence Berkeley Labs and Oak Ridge. So I think that really puts Wisconsin in a leadership position on advanced biofuels, cellulosic technology, and other new biofuels technologies that we have to have to put a dent in our consumption of our oil. Unfortunately, as a nation, our consumption of OPEC oil is actually rising. And one thing is for sure, Wisconsinites, being independent and pretty smart, aren't going to allow themselves to be held hostage to OPEC forever.
Let's take this call from Joe in Madison. Hi, Joe. What's on your mind?
Oh, I have an idea for, one of the problems with producing ethanol is that it consumes a lot of water. So I had an idea to tap the maple trees in Wisconsin, and instead of making syrup or sugar, ferment it and make alcohol. And you save a lot of the water consumption.
Mm-hmm. That's a question that I think relates back to the Mark's call a little while earlier about using sugar to make ethanol. The corn ethanol is basically you start with a starch and those starch molecules are shortened and the sugars fermented and produce alcohol. You save a step if you can use a sugar feedstock that's cost effective, and so I think that's been the problem in our country with finding sugars that are cost effective and that people can afford. That's a classic renewable energy problem. Is everybody likes renewable energy, or nearly everyone, but there are some forms of renewable energy that cost more than others, and we have to find cost effective forms of renewable energy that the marketplace can embrace and accept. Because one of the things that's really causing frustration among Wisconsinites and Americans right now is the high price of diesel fuel and gasoline. I was in northern Wisconsin up near Florence last week. The cost of diesel was $4.24 a gallon. Gasoline was 15 cents higher than it is in southern Wisconsin. We need to find cost-effective renewable resources and scale them up and get them in the marketplace.
Joe, thank you very much for the idea, and we'll talk more about that. We'll take your calls after we check on the latest news. We're talking about promoting Wisconsin's renewable energy resources with Dave Jenkins, who is Director of Commercialization and Market Development in Wisconsin's Office of Energy Independence, the office created a year ago by executive order to advance the governor's vision for energy independence. I'm Jim Packard, and you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good afternoon. I'm Jim Packard, sitting in for Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Happy to have you along with us today as we talk about promotion of our Wisconsin renewable energy resources. Dave Jenkins of the Wisconsin's Office of Energy Independence is with us here in studio. And if you'd like to join the conversation, the number for you in Madison is 263-1890. Otherwise, it's toll-free at 1-800-642-1234. We're in the launch phase of a $150 million 10-year grant and loan program to make Wisconsin a leader in renewable energy. And this grant process for the Wisconsin Energy Independence Fund has a first round of grant applications that began on the first of this month and will end on June 2nd. And if people want more information about that, I believe, Dave, that you said that they would go to the Department of Commerce website and find information there?
That's right. And my email address is on that website. If you just push the renewable energy button on the Commerce Department's homepage, it'll take you to a page, and there's email addresses for me and some of the folks at the Department of Commerce. We've gotten over 200 phone calls and emails in the last 3 weeks. We answer each one of them. Sometimes it might take a couple days because we're getting a lot of interest all over the state about this program. It's a new thing. It's much needed, and we have high hopes for it.
Well, let's suppose that I'm an entrepreneur and I have a project and I submit a grant application. If I'm successful, what can I expect?
The Department of Commerce predicts that the average award will be between $100,000 and $500,000. And for some of those awards, the commercialization and infrastructure or supply chain development will be loans. And that interest will be plowed back into the Department of Commerce programs in this area. There may be some that are smaller than that. There are some small, very worthwhile projects that the that I'm sure the state will find a good reason to invest in. One of the things I'd just like to make about this program is that I think I want to commend both Governor Doyle and the legislature for agreeing to this. It's Earth Day, Earth Week this week. Earth Day was yesterday, and we have two great traditions in Wisconsin, that of Gaylord Nelson, who his legacy was that we should take care of the earth and our resources and be good stewards of it, and Bill Proxmire, who said, let's do the things that Senator Nelson suggests, but we need to use taxpayer dollars efficiently. Those are both good lessons for us today.
So we don't want the golden fleece to be occurring.
That's right, and it's not going to. I think Governor Doyle made that very clear when he went around the state about 2 weeks ago and talked about this program, that we have to be selective and judicious and prudent in how we spend state money, and I can assure you that we will be.
All right. If you'd like to join in, the number in Madison is 263-1890 or 800-642-1234. As we talk with Dave Jenkins, he's with the Wisconsin Office of Energy Independence. Let's take some calls, and Tom in Columbus would be next. Hello, Tom.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question that it's just been on my mind for years and years and years, and this seems to be a perfect opportunity to bring it up. The regulatory issues. I know they're complicated, but I think they need to be streamlined. For instance, to solve our energy problem, we could loosen some of the restrictions on hydroelectric production, number one. And then I had another issue on, not to change the subject, but another issue on the cellulosic ethanol. How in the heck are you going to carry that much straw to a site to process it? Those are two questions. The regulatory issue, let's go back to that. You know, you've got the DNR fighting to take out every dam in the state, you know, to make, you know, I don't know what their thing is, but, you know, our forefathers put these in to solve our energy problems or bring the first energy to Wisconsin. And if the governor is really sincere about it, he's going to address those issues.
Thanks for both of those questions, Tom. Let me hit the first one first about regulatory barriers to renewable energy. My boss, Judy Zewatz, who's the director of our office, reports both to Governor Doyle and to a bio cabinet that's a group of cabinet members, including the Secretary of the Department of Natural Resources, Department of Commerce, Department of Agriculture, Public Service Commission Chairman, and they talk about things that we can do to try to streamline the process. Now, in doing so, we cannot impair our natural resources or our environment, and we can't do things that are reckless. But I think if you talk to folks like North American Hydro, who are a Wisconsin company in the business of renovating and refurbishing dams, I think they have suggestions on what the state can do to make hydroelectric production more efficient. I used to work for Wisconsin's electric co-ops, and I know that Darylin Power, for example, took steps to sort of uprate and increase the hydroelectric production from a small dam they have in Ladysmith. And they did that successfully, and other municipal utilities are doing that as well. It is difficult. And you are correct that there are concerns about how we operate our hydroelectric dams in Wisconsin. I think that's an issue that the Governor's Global Warming Task Force has been looking at, and I think we may see something coming out of that task force. They're scheduled to report next month. So I'm optimistic that that task force, which is a good bunch of people appointed by the governor, will come up with solutions to address that. With cellulosic ethanol, I think there are a lot of waste streams that we might be able to use. The University of Wisconsin people that are going to be working on that are some of the best people in the country to look at how we can convert, say, waste wood. And it could be a number of different feedstocks. It could be switchgrass. It could be other forms of prairie grasses. It could be waste wood that's left in the forest. And the DNR forestry people assure me our forests are growing and we can use more of those forest resources that sometimes are wasted. When loggers go in and cut parts of a forest, they leave about a fourth or a third there, which is more than enough to regenerate the forest. We can use some of those resources for cellulosic ethanol. Wisconsin is pushing the envelope on this technology, and I'm optimistic, Tom, that we're going to find solutions to how to produce all kinds of fuels from our natural resources, such as wood.
Critics of corn-based ethanol say that it takes way too much energy to be able to produce sufficient energy to make it worthwhile, that it takes about a barrel of petroleum to make 1.1 barrels of ethanol. I don't know if that's exact, but that's one of the criticisms of corn-based ethanol.
Right, Jim. There's a dispute about that, and I would direct people to the USDA studies and the Argonne National Lab studies. They've looked at all the different studies in the country addressing the net energy balance of ethanol, and most of those studies have come out on the positive side, although some have said that the net energy balance is negative. I'm not a scientist, and I don't have the credentials to make that judgment. I think what I would say in response to that is this. I think everyone should take a close look at how much energy it takes to produce a gallon of gasoline. It takes a tremendous amount of energy to produce gasoline, and there are studies that have suggested it takes more energy to produce a gallon of gasoline than you get out of it when you combust it. Gasoline production and oil refinery production from the production well through the refining process takes an enormous amount of water as well. So I don't think we should forget that there's a great deal of energy use that we expend in producing fossil fuels, and we have to consider that in the mix too.
Mm-hmm. Tom, thank you very much for the calls and the points. Karen is next in Portage. Hi, Karen.
Good morning. A comment first in regards to using honey. Considering the fact that we lost 35% more of our bee population over the winter, plus bumblebees now are dying, I don't think it's economically feasible.
Okay.
I am very interested in what I call minor solar. I have looked on the internet and that I've messed with solar for years and have come to the conclusion at the latitude that I'm at, the sun no longer clears the horizon in the middle of winter as high as it used to 50 years ago, and I have had confirmation from other people of my age that have noticed it also.
All right.
And there's too many cloudy days in that. But I have taken a 16 LED solar light that's supposed to be outside, run the wire through the window to get the solar panel on the roof, put the light in an unused corner of my living room, which does a very nice job of mildly lighting the whole living room during the night for me. And I have gone on the internet looking for more of a room lighting type deal and found in India that you can buy a 100-watt light bulb that has a solar collector that will light up a room for about $15. In this country, I find nothing but major expense systems for lighting up your backwoods cabin. And that is something that I see a need for working with these LEDs, because now I see another light that I'm interested in that has 50 LEDs to use it for lighting within a house and go with the smaller solar systems rather than looking at we're going to heat or light up a city or a whole home. And I'll hang up and listen to your comments off.
Thank you, Karen.
On the question of small-scale solar applications, I think some of the best people in the state who are doing work on that and helping citizens and farmers, businesses, with these small solar applications such as you describe are the folks out at the Focus on Energy program. And I just came from a meeting this morning out on the west side of town here, where the renewables program of the Focus on Energy group was talking about how they are going to meet or exceed all their goals for this year, which is great news. We have a great energy efficiency and conservation program and renewable energy folks out there. But with respect to solar, there's folks like Larry Crome and Don Wickert out at the Wisconsin Energy Conservation Corporation. And their website is weccusa.org. Some of the best people I know who are looking at this and have knowledge about the kind of small-scale solar applications you're talking about. And I have seen that device that you're referencing, the small watt light with a solar collector, very inexpensive and useful in a lot of applications.
We're talking with Dave Jenkins, who is the Director of Commercialization and Market Development in Wisconsin's Office of Energy Independence. And let's go to Jeannie in Salem next. Hi.
Hi, I'm wondering if you have any resources for scholarships, because the state of Wisconsin doesn't currently have an accredited undergraduate engineering program totally focused in renewable energy. So our son is forced to go to Oregon Institute of Technology, which is a great program, but it's very expensive. Do you think there's any way that the state would develop a reciprocity program or a scholarship program for kids like this?
I can't answer that question directly. I can tell you what is going on in some of our educational institutions. For example, just 2 weeks ago, Mid-States Technical College up in the middle part of Wisconsin has announced two new green jobs technical programs. And I can't remember whether they were for solar and wind. I think one of them may have been for wind technicians. That we're starting to see, especially the technical colleges in Wisconsin, are taking the lead on this. I know that the folks at the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development are concerned about what we call the green jobs issue, and I know they're taking a look at how we can get occupational, vocational, and technical training for these new kinds of jobs that are emerging. And I think Wisconsin will be a leader in this. The technical colleges are doing a great job. And as far as scholarships, I think the same scholarship programs would apply to those kinds of training programs as the technical colleges have now. But that is something that we will look at. And I'd be happy to get back to Jim or the people at Wisconsin Public Radio with a report on what state government is doing on that.
And is Mid-States, is that located at Wausau?
Wisconsin Rapids.
All right. Jeannie, good luck to you and to your prospective student there. Shirley in Iron Ridge, let's give you a chance. Go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yes.
I heard you talk about using wood to fuel to warm the schools in the northern part of the state or the northwestern part of the state. Considering the fact that we are so wood short anyway, what kind of wood do they plan on using? Because wood isn't really that quick to respond back again.
The folks at the DNR Forestry Division tell me that our forests are actually expanding in Wisconsin about 3 or 4% a year. In some areas, we may have wood shortages, and you may well be right about that. What I'm talking about is wood pellets and wood chips made largely out of wood waste that is not being used, say, for pulp logs or for flooring or for some other higher value use. And the people at those schools, there's about 11, but Pam Porter, who's a natural resources and energy consultant in the southern part of the state, she tells us, and she her report is on our website, the Wood for Schools program. She's presented cases of schools that have saved $50,000 to $100,000 by converting their boilers to wood. It's not appropriate for every school, but of over 1,000 schools in the state, she's identified about 300 that might be able to use waste wood in the form of chips or pellets that could be used to save schools money on their heating bills.
Okay. Well, I was just kind of curious because,
sure.
You know, they've really kind of backed away from cutting trees down for flooring and tried to go to bamboo, which or cork or whatever, because of, you know, just devastating our forests and everything. And so that's why I was just kind of curious what kind of wood they were using. But that's good that they're recycling it.
Shirley, thank you very much. We appreciate hearing from you. The number for you in Madison is 263-1890 or toll-free at 800-642-1234. Let's go to Jeremy next in Edgerton. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, everybody. I just wanted to say I've been changing my recording studio over to a solar-powered recording studio. And I lived for a while using solar power and building my own hot water heater. And I really find that, you know, it's pretty easy to do. I think a lot of people just don't want to take the time or they have the money to do this. And I think having the ability to have financial help and education, and hopefully we can do something right.
A solar-powered radio station. I think I'm going to throw that one back to you, Jim. You're the radio expert.
Well, I started off my career by working at a radio station that was powered by wind. It was WIBU. Wind is being used at high atop the hill at Pointe at Wisconsin. So solar power would be just a step forward, I guess, for me. Jeremy, thank you very much. We appreciate getting that report. And let's go next to, I'm sorry, I'm knocking people off the air here. Tim in Wisconsin Rapids. Hi, Tim.
Hi. I just happened to have this card right in front of me for the previous caller for the biorefinery technologist. That's at MSTC. And there's also the renewable electricity technician, and there's a renewable thermal energy technician programs.
All right. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate the information.
And the reason I called about was the solar water heaters.
Right.
And the possible financing of them. And the way it works is if you just, the power companies would upfront the money for the solar water heater, and you would pay them back at the, you know, it's, I've seen some that are sell for like $1,200, $1,300, and that would be like 60 months at $20 a month. And so you'd join a program at the power company, pay them $20 a month, and you'd get it essentially free because you'd be saving that $20 a month in hot water that you wouldn't be using. But the upfront money would come from the power company, and they would...
And this is an idea that you have, or this is a program in existence?
Well, it's sort of both. They have a program at Alliant Energy that's called Shared Savings.
And that would also be through Focus on Energy as well, I would think.
The Shared Savings Program is run by Alliant. The Focus on Energy Program, in addition to what you were talking about, Tim, has rebates and incentives for things like solar hot water systems. So there's both available. Each utility is different. Utilities of all kinds, the cooperatives, the municipals, the investor-owned utilities, have programs above and beyond the Focus on Energy Program. We Energies in Milwaukee recently announced a great new program, a $200,000 matching program for new feasibility studies for new generation on customer-owned generation on their system. So utilities, are doing a very, very good job in this area in helping out.
Dave Jenkins, we're just about out of time. I wanted to, again, give people who are listening, who are into research and development, manufacture and production of clean energy products, if they're interested in trying to get in on the grant system over the next couple of years, how do they start? Where do they go?
Go to the Department of Commerce webpage. Just Google Wisconsin.gov and pick state agencies. And then on the Commerce homepage, push the renewable energy button. Another way to do it is just email me. I can get you there quickly. It's davidj.jenkins@wisconsin.gov. We in the Department of Commerce will be happy to help all we can.
All right. Thank you so much. Dave Jenkins, Director of Commercialization and Market Development in the Wisconsin Office of Energy Independence, the office created about a year ago, and have launched a $150 million 10-year grant and loan program to make the state a leader in renewable energy. Thanks to Keisha Mabra for on-air phone production. Coming up tomorrow at 11, Gary Knowles, a Madison travel writer, will be along because tomorrow is the last day for voting on Wisconsin's best towns in 20 different categories. We'll talk about that. And then at 11:45 tomorrow, Heather Porter Engwall of Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board and master cheesemaker Sid Cook of Laval, Wisconsin. We'll talk about Wisconsin's great cheeses. That's coming up tomorrow here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Jim Packard, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.